الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمي الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Inshallah, after the remaining dua, Darse Quran will take place. All brothers are requested to participate. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فاعلم أنه لا إله إلا الله واستغفر لذنبك وللمؤمنين والمؤمنات والله يعلم متقلبكم ومثواكم. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي. يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. فاعلم know well, know with certainty أنه لا إله إلا الله, that none is worthy of worship but Allah. وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ, and seek forgiveness for your shortcomings. وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ, and for the believing men and the believing women. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مُتَقَلَّبَكُمْ وَمَثْوَاكُمْ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has knowledge of your movements and your places of rest. We continue with the commentary of Surah Muhammad, and we have reached verse number 19. The ayah begins with the letter fa, fa'lam, which means that this ayah is connected to the previous ayah. So when translating, it will need to be joined to the previous topic of discussion. In the previous ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had mentioned, فَهَلْ يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَّا السَّاعَةَ أَن تَأْتِيَهُمْ بَغْتَةً, that they, the kuffar, now seem only to await Qiyamah to come to them suddenly. So over there it was mentioned that Qiyamah will come, and Qiyamah will come suddenly. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is saying, fa'lam, know, meaning that acquire ilm, and the ilm that you have acquired, remain on that ilm. Acquire the knowledge of deen, and the knowledge of deen that you have acquired, remain on that knowledge. And by mentioning wastaghfir, Allah Ta'ala is saying that remain on your amal also, practicing upon this knowledge. So remain on your knowledge and remain on your amal, on your practice. Why? Because Qiyamah is going to come. And Qiyamah is going to come suddenly. So you need to make sure that you have acquired the correct knowledge with regards to deen, and you are practicing upon this knowledge also. And also because, Wallahu ya'lamu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything that you are doing. And when you leave this world, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to take accountability of your actions. A second connection, that previously Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made mention of two groups of people. Those who are the obedient servants of Allah ta'ala and those who are the disobedient servants of Allah ta'ala. The pious and the sinful. And together with mentioning these two groups, Allah ta'ala had mentioned their end results. That those who are pious, their end result will be Jannah, and in Jannah there will be these sort of favors and gifts for them. And likewise, the disobedient, their end result will be Jahannam, and in Jahannam they will be punished in a certain manner. So Allah ta'ala is saying, Fa'alam. And Allah Ta'ala is saying, wastaghfir. In other words, the ilm and the knowledge you have regarding your deen, preserve that knowledge and practice upon that knowledge. And a third connection, that in the previous ayah, Allah Ta'ala had mentioned, فَأَنَّا لَهُمْ إِذَا جَاءَتْهُمْ ذِكْرَاهُمْ. How will they be reminded when Qiyamah does dawn on them? In other words, when Qiyamah arrives, it will be sudden, offering people no chance to repent. It will be too late then, once they have seen Qiyamah, now when they will say that we are ready to believe, we are ready to change our ways, it will be too late. So Allah Ta'ala is saying, fa'alam and wastaghfir, that don't wait for that moment because it's going to be too late then. Right now, acquire the ilm, preserve that ilm and practice upon the ilm. So these are three connections between this ayah and what was mentioned previously. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is addressing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam initially. So fa'alam, Allah ta'ala is saying to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, know with certainty. As far as knowledge is concerned, which in Arabic we say ilm, ilm means knowledge. There are three stages for ilm. And there is one stage which is prior to ilm, or which is not regarded as ilm. That first stage is called dhan. Dhan means something which is unproven. It is mere conjecture. It is just a mere thought or a mere idea which has no proof and no basis to it. For example, someone randomly comes up to you. You have no idea who this person is. And he says to you that if you were to go to India or if you were to go to Pakistan, there is a fruit there. And this fruit is very tasty. It's very delicious. And this is all he says to you. Now, it's possible what he is saying to you is correct, and it's possible that he's just making it up. This is why Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Qur'an that, إِن جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِدَمَئٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا. that somebody comes to you with a piece of information, then first verify it. We live in a time of social media where whatever we receive, instantly we forward. There are plenty of WhatsApp uncles and WhatsApp aunties. They become the professional doctors also and the professional muftis also. You fall ill, instantly you'll receive messages. Take this medication and this and this and this. And you ask a fatwa, everybody's a mufti. In jaakum fasiqum bidama'in fatabayyanu. You get information first, verify it. What's the proof? How correct is this? Is it just that someone just heard something and they've just passed it on? This is dhan. So this random person says to you, there is a fruit and it's very sweet. You get it in India, you get it in Pakistan. It's possible what he is saying is correct. It's possible he's lying. He's just made something up. This is dhan. This is not ilm. Thereafter, you have three stages of ilm. The first stage of ilm is what is known as ilmul yaqeen. Ilmul yaqeen is that there are certain individuals who you know that these are truthful people. You trust them. Your parents say to you that there is this fruit you get in India, in Pakistan, is very tasty, very delicious, and it's called a mango. And then your imam tells you the same thing. Your teacher tells you the same thing. Now this is ilm, this is knowledge. It's proven. Somebody is telling you who is authentic, who is reliable. This is ilmul yaqeen. This is the first stage of knowledge. Thereafter, you yourself go to India. You yourself go to Pakistan. And you see somebody taking this fruit and they say, this is the mango, and they start eating it and you see how he is enjoying the mango. Now you see it with your own eyes. This is the second stage of ilm. This is called Ainul Yaqeen. A higher level of knowledge now. In the first level, you just heard about it. Now you are actually seeing it with your own eyes. And the third stage of ilm, which is the highest stage of ilm, is haqqul yaqeen. That they then give you the mango and they tell you, you taste it yourself. Now you eat it yourself. This is haqqul yaqeen. You yourself have experienced it. The highest level of knowledge. This is why in the Quran, in many places, ilm is translated as yaqeen. So over here, Allah Ta'ala is saying to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fa'lam, meaning that know with complete certainty, with proof. Not just that it's a thought, not just that it's conjecture, no. Know with complete proof and complete certainty. What? أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. That there is no deity besides Allah. There is no God who is worthy of worship besides Allah. Now instantly, this raises a question. And the question is that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he already knew with complete conviction that there is no deity besides Allah. There is no greater mu'min and believer than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam already knew and he already believed with full certainty regarding Allah also and regarding the whole Sharia also. He had no doubt regarding any aspect of Sharia. So why is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being told here that fa'lam? Know with certainty. Why is he being told to do something which he is already doing? So the answer to this is that Allah Ta'ala is not telling him that know with certainty that there is no deity besides Allah. Allah Ta'ala is saying to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that which you are already doing, continue doing it. And the example of that is that we have Brother Adam sitting here. And he says to me, may I stand up and leave? And I say, sit. So what does this sit mean? This sit means continue sitting. So fa'lam does not mean that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam didn't know, so he's being told that no. No, he already knew. Continue with what you are doing. Understand? Fa'lam. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is being told that know with certainty and continue knowing with certainty. You already know, but now continue knowing with certainty that there is no deity besides Allah. And the ummah is being told, you and I are being told then, that you gain and you acquire this conviction, and after you gain and acquire this conviction that there is no deity besides Allah, then preserve it. Second point. The second question is, that is this sufficient that a person knows with firm conviction that there is no deity besides Allah? Will that be enough for his salvation and his entry into Jannah? So why is Allah Ta'ala only saying, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ? So the answer to this is that as far as La ilaha illallah is concerned, this is a very amazing phrase. When a person spreads out La ilaha illallah, it becomes the entire Sharia. And if a person was to fold up La ilaha illallah, then it becomes La ilaha illallah. If you take an example of a travel mat, a travel prayer mat. So if you are traveling with a musalla, a travel prayer mat, you don't travel with it open like how it is right now. You fold it. First you fold it into half, then you fold it again, then you fold it again, and you will fold it as much as you possibly can, make it as small as possible. So when you folded it completely, this is La ilaha illallah. You open it the first time, it will become La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. The main title is La ilaha illallah. But La ilaha illallah, within it has La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. There is no deity besides Allah, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is Allah's Rasul and Messenger. And if you were to open up La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, then you will have Iman Mufassal, the seven articles of faith. Amantu billah, I believe in Allah. Wa malaikatihi, his angels. Wa kutubihi, his books. Wa rusulihi, his prophets. Wal yawmil akhiri, the last day. Wal qadri khayrihi wa sharrihi min Allah Ta'ala. All good and bad is from Allah Ta'ala. وَالْبَعْثِ بَعْدَ الْمَوْتِ and resurrection after death. And if you open this up, then you have all the aqaid and all the beliefs regarding Allah, regarding the angels, regarding the books, regarding the prophets, regarding the last day, regarding taqdeer, and regarding life after death. All of those aqaid and beliefs which a believer needs to believe in. And if you open this up also, then after aqaid, the four remaining branches, ibadat, worship, mu'amalat, transactions, mu'asharat, social life, and husni akhlaq, good characteristics. This is the entire Sharia. This is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he says, من كان آخر كلامه لا إله إلا الله دخل الجنة. That person whose last words are La ilaha illallah will enter Jannah. This doesn't mean that a person only says La ilaha illallah and he only believes in La ilaha illallah, he will enter Jannah. No, he has to have the entire Sharia within him. But at the time of death, you will not have time to say everything. You will not have time to affirm everything. So at this time of your journey, your prayer mat will be folded, so you will have that last fold. So you will say La ilaha illallah, and in this La ilaha illallah, you also have La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, Iman Mufassal, all the aqaid, and the entire Sharia. So you are leaving this world with the entire Sharia, but you are just saying La ilaha illallah. So fa'lam annahu La ilaha illallah. Know with certainty that there is no deity besides Allah. In other words, know the entire Sharia and practice upon the entire Sharia. This is La ilaha illallah. Sayyiduna Uthman radiyallahu ta'ala anhu has mentioned the hadith in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that man mata wa huwa ya'lamu annahu La ilaha illallah dakhala al-jannah. That individual who passes away whilst knowing with firm conviction that there is no deity besides Allah, such a person will enter Jannah. And Sayyiduna Talha bin Ubaidullah radiyallahu anhu, who is from the Al-Asharatul Mubashara, his son Yahya mentions that once Sayyiduna Umar bin Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he saw that my father is sitting there with a lot of grief on his face. So Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he approached Sayyiduna Talha bin Ubaidullah radiyallahu anhu. And he asked him that, why is it that you look in a very grieved manner? You look very sad, very concerned about something. So Talha radiyallahu ta'ala anhu mentioned that once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to me that I know a certain phrase, that if a person was to utter this phrase, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make easy for this person all of those difficulties which a person normally experiences at the time of death. Allah Ta'ala will make his death easy for him. Number two, at the time of death, Allah Ta'ala will make his face extremely radiant. And number three, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala will grant him such feelings at the time of death, which will be a means of happiness and joy for him. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this to me. But thereafter, the topic changed and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not inform me of what that phrase was. And I also did not get a chance to ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And thereafter, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. So what is grieving me is that I was unable to find out what that phrase is. So upon this, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu mentioned that there is no need for you to worry because I know what the phrase is. And thereafter, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say that the most valuable phrase a person can utter at the time of his death is that very phrase which I presented to my uncle at the time of his death. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam approached his uncle Abu Talib. So Abu Talib had looked after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He had taken care of him. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had great love for his uncle Abu Talib. Now you can imagine at that time when he can see that my uncle is about to depart for the hereafter, How much concern he must have had. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Ya Ammi, O my beloved uncle, قُلْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ Say, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ كَلِمَةٌ أُحَاجُّ بِهَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ And on the day of Qiyamah, I will plead to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, I will intercede on your behalf that my uncle read لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ So enter him into Jannah. So that phrase, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ is the most valuable phrase a person could say before he leaves this world. So, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ Know with certainty, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ that there is no deity besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thereafter, وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ Seek forgiveness for your shortcomings. Now again, initially, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being addressed. Seek forgiveness for your shortcomings. So instantly the question is that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not have any shortcomings. He did not commit any sin. He was the Prophet of Allah Ta'ala. وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكْ ذَنْبٌ means sin. So seek forgiveness for your sins. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not commit any sins. So what is the meaning of this? وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكْ First meaning. The first meaning is that as far as the extremely pious and obedient servants of Allah Ta'ala are concerned, despite worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to a very high level, because they have the ma'rifah and the recognition of the greatness of Allah ta'ala, they themselves feel that my ibadah and my worship is full of deficiency. I was not able to worship Allah the way I was supposed to. Allah ta'ala says regarding the ibadur rahman in the Quran, the servants of Rahman. وَالَّذِينَ يَبِيتُونَ لِرَبِّهِمْ سُجَّدًا وَقِيَامًا They spend the entire night in sajda and qiyam. So they've spent the whole night in ibadah. The whole night they have spent in ibadah. But what do they do in the morning? وَالَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ You hear them saying, رَبَّنَا اصْرِفْ عَنَّا عَذَابَ جَهَنَّمْ O Allah, turn away from us the punishment of Jahannam. They are not saying, O Allah, grant us Jannah. We worship Allah the whole night. In the morning, how will we feel? That now I'm deserving of Jannah. And we'll say, O Allah, grant me Jannah. This would also be fine. But the very pious servants of Allah, they don't think that I've worshipped Allah the entire night, so now I am in a position to ask Allah for Jannah. No, they say, Oh Allah, save us from Jahannam. كَانُوا قَلِيلًا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ مَا يَهْجَعُونَ In another place, Allah Ta'ala says that the pious, they spend a very small amount of their night sleeping on their beds. Meaning the majority of the night they spend in ibadah. But, وَبِالْأَسْحَارِ هُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ In the morning, at the time of suhoor, you will hear them engaged in istighfar. They are saying, Astaghfirullah, O Allah, forgive us. They spend the entire night in ibadah, but in the morning, Astaghfirullah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would perform salah. After performing salah, this is that salah which is unmatchable. Nobody can perform such a perfect salah. It was so perfect that he would say to the Sahaba, Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. You perform salah just as you see me performing salah. Meaning this is the standard. But after performing such a perfect salah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, Allahu Akbar. And then three times, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. He would seek forgiveness. So those who are extremely close to Allah Ta'ala, whose status in the eyes of Allah Ta'ala is very high, even after worshipping Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala to a very high level, they themselves feel that we have not worshipped Allah the way we were supposed to. So Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is saying to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, "Wastaghfir li dhanbik," seek forgiveness for your shortcomings. Meaning that during your lifetime, there will be many cases when you will feel that I have not worshipped Allah the way I was supposed to. Now, how are you going to get through your life with this thought? You are going to be feeling guilty inside. So Allah Ta'ala is consoling Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and showing him a remedy. That when you feel that I have not worshipped Allah the way I was supposed to, then how can you remove this guilt? By engaging in istighfar. Say, astaghfirullah. Oh Allah, forgive me. This is one meaning. The angels. There are certain angels who have, from the time Allah Ta'ala created them, until the day of Qiyamah, they will remain in Qiyam. Some will remain in Ruku. Some will remain in Sajda. Some will remain saying Subhanallah. So look at the length of ibadah and no disobedience whatsoever. La ya'soon Allah, they are unable to disobey Allah. But on the day of Qiyamah, when they will stand in the court of Allah Ta'ala, they will say, Ma abadnaka haqqa ibadatik. O Allah, we were unable to worship you as is the right to worship you. So istighfar upon this shortcoming. It's not a shortcoming, but because you feel that you have not worshipped Allah the way you were supposed to, in order to make yourself feel better, engage in istighfar. And the second meaning. The second meaning of wastaghfir li dhanbik, that seek forgiveness for your shortcomings. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, during his lifetime, sometimes he would be faced with a dilemma that should I carry out this good deed or shall I carry out this good deed? He would have two options. And he would have to carry out ijtihad, meaning he would have to deliberate, he would have to ponder, and he would have to think that shall I do this or shall I do this? So after pondering, this is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who had the highest level of understanding. But this would happen through the hikmah and wisdom of Allah Ta'ala. That after pondering, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam would feel that this is a good deed, but this is a very good deed. So let me opt for the very good deed over the good deed. He would go for the very good deed, carry out the very good deed, but Allah Ta'ala would then show his disapproval that no, you are not supposed to have done this, you should have done this. In your mind, option A was very good and option B was good. But in the court of Allah, option B was very good and option A was good. Example. That when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was once sat with the leaders of the disbelievers, trying to invite them towards Islam. So while he was inviting them towards Islam, speaking to them about Islam, a blind Sahabi by the name of Sayyiduna Abdullah ibn Maktum radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he entered the room. He was unaware that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam at this time is engaged in calling non-Muslim leaders towards Islam. So he came, he sat next to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he posed a question. Now at that time, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam had two options. Either he answers the question of this Sahabi, or he carries on inviting the non-Muslim leaders towards Islam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, through his ijtihad, meaning through his pondering and deliberation on this matter, felt that calling the non-Muslim leaders towards Islam is a more virtuous deed in comparison to answering this sahabi of mine. Because I can answer him later also. But as far as these leaders are concerned, if they were to get up and leave, it's possible I will lose this chance. I may never get this chance again. He is already mine. He has already accepted me. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in that moment, there was a frown on his face, showing his disapproval. And he turned his face away from the sahabiyah and he paid full attention towards the non-Muslim leaders. Now this was not a sin. This was not makruh. This was not disliked. Rather, this was still a good deed what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was doing. Rather, a very good deed. He was calling non-Muslim leaders towards Islam. He was carrying out a great deed. But hasanatul abrar, sayyiatul muqarrabin. There is a principle in Arabic that sometimes the abrar, the pious, when they do something, it's regarded as good. But the muqarrabin, the extremely close servants of Allah, carry out the same deed. Allah Ta'ala says, why did you do this? For them, it's an error. Because they are so close, because of their status in the court of Allah Ta'ala and their connection with Allah Ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala revealed Surah Abbas, Abasa. He frowned. Watawalla. And he turned his face away. Anja'ahul A'ma. Because, or when? The blind Sahabi, Abdullah ibn Umm Maktum radiallahu anhu, came. وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ لَعَلَّهُ يَزَّكَّى أَوْ يَذَّكَّرُ فَتَنْفَعَهُ الذِّكْرَ. Allah Ta'ala says that, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's very possible that if you had paid attention to Abdullah ibn Umm Maktum and you would have answered him, he would have benefited from that answer and he would have taken that advice. That advice would have benefited him. أَمَّا مَنِ اسْتَغْنَى. As for these individuals who feel that they are not in need of you. They are not in need of Islam. They are not in need of your messages, of your advices. فَأَنْتَ لَهُ تَصَدَّى وَمَا عَلَيْكَ أَلَّا يَزَّكَّى. So in these ayat, Allah Ta'ala is reprimanding the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam over an error in judgment. Which again we mentioned, it wasn't a sin, it wasn't wrong. It was a very good deed. But for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even this very good deed, because it was not as good as if he would have answered Abdullah ibn Umm Maktum radiallahu anhu, then it feels as though he did something which was less good. You have an individual and he comes up to you and he says, I had £1,000 and I have spent this £1,000 in this particular masjid. He's done a very good deed. He spent £1,000 and he's given it to a masjid. And you know that masjid, it was a noble, worthy cause. But at the same time, you know that there is a part, there is a place in the world where people are dying. And they are in need of every single penny. When he comes to you and says that I have just given £1,000 in charity to this particular masjid, you will show your disapproval and say that, what have you done? What have you done? If only you had asked me, I would have told you that in this country people are dying, they are in need of every single penny. So look, he hasn't done anything wrong, rather he's done a very good deed. He spent £1,000 in a masjid, but you showed your disapproval. It's not that he's done something wrong. So sometimes when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be faced with these sort of dilemmas and he would carry out an action which was slightly less in comparison to what the other action would have been better in the eyes of Allah Ta'ala. At the time,
When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam deliberated and pondered, he was thinking, what I am doing is the best. So he wasn't doing anything wrong. In Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam's mind was that these are leaders. If they were to accept Islam, then as a result, so many other people will also accept Islam. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was thinking in this way, that as far as the benefit there is in this action of calling the leaders towards Islam, the benefit is possible. It's possible they will accept, it's possible they will not accept. And in this case, if you answer the Sahabi, the benefit is definite. He will definitely listen to you and he'll definitely do what you tell him to do. So because this is definite, this is why there is more benefit in here in comparison to this, where there is a possibility. So this is the second meaning of wastaghfir li dhanbik. Seek forgiveness for your shortcomings. Wastaghfir li dhanbik. And thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that walil mu'minina wal mu'minat, that seek forgiveness for the believing men and the believing women. Seek forgiveness for the believing men and the believing women. Allama Baghawi rahimahullahu ta'ala mentions in his tafsir Ma'alim al-Tanzil, هذا إكرام من الله تعالى لهذه الأمة حيث أمر نبيهم صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يستغفر لذنوبهم وهو الشفيع المجاب فيهم. Allama Baghawi rahimahullah says that this is a great favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon this ummah. That Allah ta'ala is saying to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, seek forgiveness for the believing men and the believing women. Now when Allah ta'ala is commanding Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is definitely going to seek forgiveness for you and I. And when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will seek forgiveness for you and I, then because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mustajabu da'wat, his du'as are definitely accepted. So his seeking forgiveness on our behalf will be accepted, and as a result, Allah ta'ala will forgive all of our sins. So this is a great favor which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has conferred upon us here, by ordering Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to seek forgiveness for the believing men and the believing women. And a second point we learn from here is that seniors should also supplicate for their juniors. Parents should make dua and seek forgiveness for their children. Teachers for their students. Imams for their congregations. So any person who has people under him, then he should seek forgiveness that, oh Allah, forgive them. And he should also make dua for them. So two things, La ilaha illallah and istighfar. This is why the daily dhikr, the minimum dhikr that a person should do, in there, the first point is that either a person reads the first kalima or the third kalima 100 times daily. And more preferably, the third kalima. So in the third kalima, we say Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. So even there we have La ilaha illallah. And thereafter 100 times, Astaghfirullah. And finally, 300 times, Durood Sharif. So istighfar and la ilaha illallah. Sayyiduna Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala anhu mentions that once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that they recite la ilaha illallah and astaghfirullah frequently. Why? Because Shaitan, he says that I got people involved in sins, and as a result, I have destroyed them. But in return, they destroy me by reciting La ilaha illallah and Astaghfirullah. Shaitan, only Allah Ta'ala knows how much he tries to play with our minds so that our aqaid change. So he tries to change our aqaid. But as soon as you say La ilaha illallah, all of his effort goes down the drain. And Shaitan exerts so much effort in making us sin. So we commit sin upon sin upon sin, and we have a mountain full of sins. But one moment of sincerity and we say Astaghfirullah, and all his effort goes down the drain. So Shaitan says that I destroy people by making them commit sin, but through La ilaha illallah and Astaghfirullah, they destroy all of my efforts. And Allama Ibn Kathir rahimahullahu ta'ala mentions that once Shaitan, he said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that by your honor and by your greatness, I will continue to deviate your servants from the straight path for as long as their souls are in their bodies. Meaning, this, I have made this the mission of my life, that until a person reaches his final moments and he doesn't leave this world, I will try my utmost to try and deviate him from the straight path. So upon this, what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that by my honor and by my greatness, I will continue to forgive my servants for as long as they do istighfar and they seek forgiveness. So the doors of tawbah and the doors of repentance are open. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَقْبَلُ تَوْبَةَ الْعَبْدِ مَا لَمْ يُغَرْغِرْ. Until a person reaches those last moments of his life when he begins to experience the pangs of death, if he was to repent, then even if his sins are so many that they could fill the entire world, Allah Ta'ala says, I will forgive all of those sins. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves forgiveness so much. He loves forgiveness so much that in the tafsir of Surah Al-Qadr, we find that Allah Ta'ala Himself says, لَأَنِينُ الْمُذْدِبِينَ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِنْ زَجْلِ الْمُسَبِّهِينَ. That you have two people. One person, due to his piety, due to having no sins in his account, he is sitting there saying, Subhanallah, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. And you have another person, all he can think about is, I am so sinful. I have done everything wrong in my life. There is nothing that I can present in the court of Allah. So he is sitting there saying, Astaghfirullah, O Allah, forgive me. Astaghfirullah, O Allah, forgive me. Astaghfirullah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I am observing this, that I have my pious servant, from his tongue is flowing Subhanallah. And my sinful servant, from his tongue is flowing Astaghfirullah. Allah Ta'ala says that let this competition begin, and let me show you the result. That the end result of this competition is that Astaghfirullah, which is flowing from the tongue of my sinful servant, is more beloved to me than the Subhanallah which is flowing from my obedient servant. So a believer should never become despondent. Ya ibadi alladhina asrafu. Allah Ta'ala says, oh my servants who have oppressed themselves. Even those who have oppressed themselves, who have sinned, who have gone so far from Allah, Allah Ta'ala is not using any other term. He's saying, Ya ibadi, oh my servants, you are still mine. La taqnatu min rahmatillah. Do not become despondent from the mercy of Allah. Inna Allah yaghfiru dhunuba jami'a. Indeed, Allah Ta'ala forgives all sins. Innahu huwa al-ghafur al-rahim. He is ghafur, the all-forgiving. He is rahim, the all-merciful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned three traits of the sinners in the Qur'an and three qualities of his forgiveness in the Qur'an. Qadi Baydawi rahimahullahu ta'ala, the great mufassir, has mentioned this. He says, Allah Ta'ala in one place says, Zalim. So Zalim means sinner. In a second place, Allah Ta'ala says, Zaloom. Zalum means a greater sinner. And in a third place, Allah Ta'ala says, Zallam. Zallam means the greatest sinner. So you will either be a sinner, a greater sinner, or the greatest sinner. And thereafter, Allah Ta'ala in the Quran mentions three of His qualities. Allah Ta'ala says, Ghafir. Allah Ta'ala is the forgiver. Ghafoor. Allah Ta'ala is the greater forgiver. And Ghaffar. Allah Ta'ala is the greatest of forgivers. So Qadi Baydawi Rahmatullahi Alayhi says that Allah Ta'ala is speaking to you and I through the Quran and saying that why are you becoming despondent? Why are you letting shaitan make you despondent over your sins? If you think you are zalim and a sinner, then come to me as the zalim. You will meet me as the ghafir, the forgiver, and I will forgive your sins. And if you think you are zalum, the greater sinner, still come to me, because you will meet me as ghafur, the greater forgiver, and I will forgive your sins. And if you think you are zallam, the greatest of sinners, even then don't be despondent. Come to me as zallam. You will meet me as ghaffar, the greatest of forgivers, and I will forgive your sins. So, la ilaha illallah and istighfar. Fa'alam annahu la ilaha illallah wastaghfir li dhanbik. So, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being told that continue with this certainty of knowing the deen and practice upon the deen. And you and I are being told, bring iman. After bringing iman, acquire the ilm. Once you acquire ilm, practice upon this ilm. And together with this, whatever deficiencies you have in your life, then seek forgiveness. And together with seeking forgiveness for yourself, seek forgiveness for the mu'mineen, the believers, the believing men and the believing women. Allama Qurtubi rahmatullahi alayh has mentioned under the commentary of this hadith that once Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Sarjis radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, who is a sahabi, he says that once I came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and I ate from the food of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So after I finished eating, I gave Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a dua and I said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ghafarallahu lak, that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive you. So forgive you here means what I've already explained. There were no sins, but if there was anything you did which you felt was not in accordance to the standard it should have been, or from the two good options you chose the wrong option, or you chose a lesser option, not wrong but lesser, then may Allah Ta'ala forgive you. So I gave Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam this dua, ghafarallahu lak. So he says that one of my companions or one of my students, they asked me that you said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ghafarallahu lak, may Allah forgive you. Did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ever seek forgiveness for you? So upon this, he replied, na'am, yes. Walaka, and he also sought forgiveness for you. Now this companion of his or this student of his was a tabi'i, he wasn't a sahabi. Meaning he wasn't living in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he felt amazed that how did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam seek forgiveness for me, because he doesn't even know me. So upon this, Abdullah bin Sarjis radiyallahu anhu recited this ayah in which Allah Ta'ala says, وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ, that O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, seek forgiveness for your shortcomings and seek forgiveness for the believing men and for the believing women. In other words, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will definitely practice upon this ayah. And when he practiced upon this ayah, he sought forgiveness for every believer until the day of Qiyamah. So he sought forgiveness for you also. One more point which has been derived from this ayah. That in this ayah, Allah Ta'ala mentions fa'alam first and wastaghfir thereafter. In fa'alam is ilm and in istaghfir is amal. So ilm has been mentioned first, that first acquire ilm, acquire knowledge, and thereafter amal, thereafter practice. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi has also brought a chapter in his sahih, babun al-ilmu qabla al-amal, that ilm comes before amal. If there's no ilm, they can't be amal. You can't practice until you don't know something. If you don't know you have to perform 5 times salah, then you can't perform 5 times salah. If you don't know you have to fast in Ramadan, you can't fast. So first comes ilm, then comes amal. So somebody asked Sufyan ibn Uyayna rahimahullahu ta'ala, that can you mention to me a fadila, a virtue of ilm in the Quran? So Sufyan ibn Uyayna rahimahullahu ta'ala said that Allah ta'ala mentions in the Quran, fa'alam annahu la ilaha illallah wastaghfir li dhanbik. Allah ta'ala has mentioned ilm first and thereafter amal. So this is a virtue of ilm. That ilm is something extremely virtuous, because without ilm there will be no amal. And without amal a person cannot gain entry into Jannah. So what is Allah Ta'ala saying? فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Know with certainty that there is no deity besides Allah. This doesn't only mean لا إله إلا الله. This means the entire Sharia. وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ. Seek forgiveness for your shortcomings. وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. And for the believing men also, for the believing women also. So we need iman, ilm, amal, seek forgiveness for our sins and seek forgiveness for the entire ummah. And why do we need to do this? Wallahu ya'lamu mutaqallabakum wa mathwakum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He knows your movements and He knows your places of rest. Two things, mutaqallab and mathwa. Allah ta'ala knows your movements. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows your places of rest. One meaning of this is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows where you go and what you do. When you leave your house, where you go and what you do, whether you're still in Leicester, or whether you go to another city, or whether you go to another country, or whether you go out of the continent, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything that you are doing, and Allah ta'ala knows everywhere you go. Mutaqallabakum. Wa mathwakum. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows your place of rest, meaning your house. Meaning whatever you do in your house also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fully aware of this. And wallahu ya'lamu mutaqallabakum wa mathwakum also means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fully aware of all your temporary locations, and Allah Ta'ala is also fully aware of your permanent locations. You shouldn't think that I am only going to be here for 5 minutes and I am never going to return here again. So if I do something here, nobody will know. Yes, nobody will know, but Allah Ta'ala will know. So wallahu ya'lamu mutaqallabakum wa mathwakum. And a third meaning, Allah Ta'ala is fully aware of mutaqallabakum, your temporary engagements, wa mathwakum, and your permanent habits. So if you do something as a one-off and you never do it again, it's possible everybody else who was with you will forget. But Allah Ta'ala will not forget. And when this is the case, then as far as the permanent habits are concerned, Allah Ta'ala will also know and does know regarding this also. And finally, وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مُتَقَلَّبَكُمْ. Allah Ta'ala knows your movements. Meaning that when you were a drop of semen, and from there you entered into the womb of your mother, and thereafter you spent 9 months in the womb of your mother, and thereafter you came out from the womb of your mother, and then you grew up, your youth, and then your adulthood, and then you passed away, and then you go in your grave, and then the day of Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala says, وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مُتَقَلَّبَكُمْ. He is aware of all of your movements, of your past, your present, and your future. And وَمَثْوَاكُمْ. Allah Ta'ala is fully aware of your place of rest, meaning your final abode. Is it going to be Jannah or is it going to be Jahannam? So in this ayah, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has mentioned that فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Know well that none is worthy of worship but Allah. وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ. And seek forgiveness for your shortcomings. وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. And for the believing men and believing women. Wallahu ya'lamu mutaqallabakum wa mathwakum. Allah has knowledge of your movements and your places of rest. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He grants us all the ability to keep this in mind, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows at every moment what we are doing, what we are thinking, what we are intending to do. So we should always ensure that we do those things which will please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we should refrain from that which will displease Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us firm conviction in La ilaha illallah and the entire deen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to excessively seek forgiveness also for our sins and for the shortcomings of the entire ummah. And when our time comes to depart from this world, then may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us depart with the words La ilaha illallah flowing from our tongues. Wa akhiru da'wana. And alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله
الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. ألم تر كيف فعل ربك بأصحاب الفيل؟ ألم يجعل كيدهم في تضليل؟ وأرسل عليهم طيرا أبابيل، ترميهم بحجارة من سجيل، فجعلهم كعصف مأكول. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. لإيلاف قريش، إيلافهم رحلة الشتاء والصيف، فليعبدوا رب هذا البيت الذي أطعمهم من جوع وآمنهم من خوف. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر.
Allahu Akbar.
Sami'a Allahu liman hamida.
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.